Welcome back to the Culinary Mechanic Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Zaterka. I hope you guys are ready. We're about to talk about some real deal, like insights and strategies around prime costs and hospitality. My guest, again, is Christopher Wells, and I think that you're going to find that this guy really has got a great sense of what it takes to be successful. I know that our conversation made me really happy inside, knowing that hopefully we're going to help some people. Perhaps we'll give others some insight. But at the end of the day, it was a great conversation. We had a good time. This is where I'm supposed to tell you to like or follow, subscribe to this podcast, whether it be on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or even on YouTube, because, you know, you got to do the video version too, because why not? But anyway, can't wait for you to hear the rest of this. Thanks for coming and playing in our sandbox. Here we go. I think as a restaurant operator myself, like it's so amazing to me when I'm talking to chefs, talking to owners. I talked to one guy last year. He's got four restaurants. He's been in the business for, 15, 16 years. And I said, hey, man, like, you don't have your menu costed. How have you survived? And he's like, well, my food's really good. I said, great. That's amazing. I said, but like, how do you go forward in the world? And he goes, every Wednesday, I sit down with my accountant. We open up the book. If the number is larger than it was last Wednesday, I close the book and I keep moving. He says, I've been doing that for 15 years. I said, why am I here? And realize that I'm there to cost his menu and help him troubleshoot some issues, because about 4 weeks before our meeting, he woke up on a Wednesday, opened up his book and said, the number's not bigger than it was. What's going on? And then it happened again, and it happened again, and it happened again. And so he decided that before it got out of hand, he was going to do something about it. But that is like, that for me is canary in a coal mine for so many restaurants. I think that like just being able to focus on what, you know, prime costs, right? Like yep. Your food costs, your beverage costs, and your labor costs, both back house and front of house. I think that is just... like, if you can do that, you probably get through the day better, you know, and just understanding where it is.
There's some, for me in that, there's some basic stuff. Like when I started my consulting career with a lot of good, you know, desire to help and all that, but also the imposter syndrome of why me, but like, you know, there's so many people that don't know what the hell they're doing. I'm sure I can't hurt them anyways. I'll help them. Right. And then I got some successes and I had some wins, but when I went in with my list of like 100 things I wanted to help them with. But in the last year that I was doing it, I would go in and I'd look at two things. And usually within the first 3 hours of my mandate or whatever you want to call it, I would have fixed 80% of what I was going to fix. Because I'd go look at labor front and back and I'd do reverse engineering on that. And then I'd say, where are we at on the costing? Was the last time that shit was costed? And we have a recipe book and is it being followed? But going to a restaurant, like, I'm a huge fan of reverse engineering. Like, if you know the numbers you want to hit for your business, right? If you say you want to hit, you know, we're talking 60, 65% prime cost before. Let's say that, you know, the traditional, you know, food cost, it's always, you know, there's a lot of people debating this now. Is it 28? But, you know, 33 is the number that's always been thrown around, or 30 or whatever. It means you got 30, 35 for labor, right? If you got 30, 35 for labor, a lot of times it'll be, what, 17 for the back, 12, you know, for the back of house, the heart of the house, whatever you want to call it. And then, you know, 11, 12 in service and 4 or 5 in management. Well, reverse engineering means if you usually sell 10,000 a week, 10%, then just to make it simple, because I'm not that great at mental math, I'm good at doing it for inventory purposes, but let's say that it's 10%, 11, 12, let's round it to 10. Selling 10,000 means you have $1,000. And then the average salary, again, to keep it simple, it's, you know, minimum wage gone up, but I liked it when it was $10. It was easy to do 10,000, 1,000, but, you know, 10,000 for $1,000 to spend at $10 an hour, I got 100 hours to put. Probably makes more sense to divide by 15 now, but, or is it whatever, 85 hours or whatever it would be divided by 15.
Unless you're in California, where and Washington, where it's going to 20.
20, yeah. It's going up to 1575 in Quebec. It was still 11 not too long ago. So it's gone up quite a bit too. Which I think is great, because when I was doing minimum wage, I would have loved to have a more decent minimum wage, I must say. But if I know whatever that equation is, like if it's 85 hours and I look at your schedule and 120, I know your labor is not going to match for that week. I don't get, you're not going to pound like fucking 20 and 20, you know, say 17K in sales this week. So reverse engineering for me is how do I, same thing with the kitchen. Like, let's do an average on the salary. If it's, you know, $21 in the kitchen or whatever it is, well, if you're going to do 10,000 divided by that, this is what your budget should be to hit a decent budget number. Now, obviously, I'm aware there's a, like what I'm saying now is a generalization. There's a million, but this is a base. And how many times did I go in and my client, you know, her schedule's at 386 hours for the week, and I say it should be at 286. He's like, "Are you crazy? I'm gonna cut a quarter of this. Like, this impossible." Well, you know what? Within 2 weeks, she was at 326, from 380 to, you know, to
Yeah, that's halfway
326,
there.
on halfway there, and then we got close to 300 with. But I'm like, this is 40, 50K a year. So you're not making any money. And now we just found 50K in profit.
Yeah.
Because, and then the same thing with the menu. So reverse engineering. Okay, so that you're saying that the hamburgers, your burgers are supposed to be whatever it was. I can't, 200 grams or whatever it was, 180 grams or whatever, or patties were supposed to cost it at. So I go in, I'm like, "You guys portion them." She's like, "Yeah." So like, okay, bring out the port. And then I weigh 10 of them. And I
None
got
of them
some at,
fit.
you know, a few at 180, a few at 170, but I got a lot at 200, 220, to this. So I did an average of what the bin was at. And I was like, you're over 30 grams on 40, 60% of these. And then extrapolated that to how much she sold in a week. And I said, this is, I don't know, whatever that was, $400 worth of meat. That means it's 1600 a month. That means it's, you know, 15, 18K a year that you're wasting just on burgers. So that's the kind of stuff that when you focus on going back to prime cost or variances or stuff like that, this is where the difference between restaurants that make money and don't make money. Because I can't, if unless you sign a shitty lease and you're getting ruined and you're at, you know, 14% of your revenue is going to the lease, yeah, you know you're not going to make money. But if the rest of the business has been set up properly, the day-to-day of, you know, portioning, following your recipes and knowing where you stand with stuff like that is the difference between restaurants that, you know, they all, the famous, they close between 5 years, and others that are around that are making money. I've seen restaurants at 3, 5 million in sales making no money, and I've seen restaurants a couple of years ago, they probably do more, but close to $1 million where the couple are both making a decent salary because they operate, you know, within numbers that make sense anyways. But yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating that all, well, all the numbers aside, everything, I always go back to, like, if you want to understand why something is, write it down, measure it, right? What gets measured gets managed. If you want to understand why your labor cost is high, write it down, be clear about what you're spending, and then look around and go, oh, that guy's standing around for an hour, that guy's standing around for an hour, and then you can trim it, right? Like, you can actually make things better. But people, I feel like people like to pretend that they can divine it, right? They can look at, they can, oh, I feel it. No, you don't feel it. I'm sorry.
I
Business is
will
not
will this
feeling.
into success.
Yeah. Business is not feeling. Business is
Yeah.
not numbers, dollars, and cents.
Yeah. And people get tied up, I think, in, oh, well, you know, that client of mine that we took down for like, you know, dozens of hours. She was like, "I need to give these guys their hours." Like, I remember having, as actually one of my assistant managers, I was portioning food for a chain that I worked with. They were portioning the chicken tenders or whatever it was. And we're like, wow, they're kind of stuck in the back. The guys are busy. And we have a hostess at the door because we need, like, we're open through the afternoon. She's like, she's not doing anything. So she grabbed the hostess. "Listen, can I ask you for help? You're going to come back here in the kitchen. What kind of half of, you know, part of closer to the kitchen? You're going to portion these things. You're going to put some gloves on. You're going to weigh these. And when a guest walks in, you're going to say, 'Hey, hi, I'll be right over. Remove your gloves and go see the guest.' And it probably won't be." And she, you know, she, I remember that afternoon, she portioned 3 cases of chicken tenders, but nobody came into the door. So she would have been standing there with her arms crossed. And now we got a bunch of stuff portioned that we don't need somebody else to do. So it was like, no, there's always a, this is not my job. But again, this becomes leadership and how can, you know, want to help the rest of the team. We'd love if you can help us with this year. And for the person, instead of standing there watching flies fly around, a lot, I know, interrupting our business a lot, I'd
I'm
much rather
sure
be
that
doing
young
something.
lady as the hostess was thankful because
Yeah, it's like
flies are not
she's
that
getting,
interesting.
you know, flirted on or talked to with the guys in the back, and she's kind of more in the action than standing alone at the door and doing nothing. So.
The restaurant business can be a grueling, grueling day-to-day endeavor. And with costs rising all the time, profit on the bottom line, it's getting scarce. It's getting hard to do. Culinary Mechanic is here for you, though. From systems, tools, and structure to coaching on leadership, delegation, and time management, or perhaps even just being an accountability partner to help you drive those results. Drive a little more money to the bottom line. We can help you. You can find us at www.culinarymechanic.com. Don't worry, we got you. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I want to touch on one last thing, I think, because this is where you and I really like when we first met. It's the hospitality of business. I'd love your thoughts on it. I'd love perhaps if you can fashion it into some advice for folks out there who are running restaurants, because I think that you and I agree without hospitality as an industry just doesn't flow.
Totally. I think that life without hospitality doesn't flow.
Yeah,
And
I
I'll
would
tell
agree
you
with
what I
that.
mean by that is to me, everything is about attitude of service. And when you're in the service of, hey, I'm not a religious person. If you are, I respect you. God bless you, whatever. But I'm a bit of a misfit, but I believe that when you do things. And in our business, it's funny because I don't, somebody on LinkedIn recently, in some of the groups that you and I follow, they were saying like, what's hospitality for you? What's the difference between just kind of, you know, serving somebody or whatever, I guess a client or, and then, you know, offering hospitality. And there's a bunch of great answers, but to me, it's what's the intent behind it?
Right.
And if the intent behind it is to make you happy as a guest, to provide you with a better experience, to not, I'm not trying to go for a tip. I'm not trying to feed your mouth. Like you could go home, peanut butter and some crackers, survive on that. If you're coming to me, whatever the type of restaurant, you're coming to me for some form of an experience. And if I provide that with the intent to make you happy and to give you value for the money that you're spending with me instead of spending it with somebody else, that is hospitality. So I approach that in everything that I do with my wife, with my daughters, with my parents, with my friends. I try to come at it with a mindset of hospitality, a mindset of attitude of service. So the intent behind it is to make them happy, to be empathetic and have a higher emotional intelligence of how I, you know, there's a classic of treat them the way you'd like to be treated. No, how about we treat them the way they'd like to be treated? Because I understand how I've worked with enough humans. I've been doing this long enough that I understand probably what your triggers are and what you like. So I'm not going to sell you the wine that I like. I want to sell you. That's where I think a lot of people get it wrong in our business to tie to hospitalities. There are a lot of people, and I'll start with a lot of mixologists out there. There's some great ones, but it's all about themselves and, you know, their belly button. I know 12 type of piscos and you don't even know what pisco is. I take what I do seriously, but I don't take myself seriously. And a lot of people in our industry and other industries too, but now we're talking about ours, a lot of people have this backwards. They take themselves seriously. And then, you know, maybe the work doesn't get the attention that it deserves. So, but when if I go at it with a mindset of hospitality and of attitude of service, I will be thinking of what is the best thing for you. If I love funky, you know, Gamay in the Beaujolais and from the Fleury region. And I get a couple that's 62 years old that's traveling out of town and they're having, you know, a steak and a salmon. They usually drink California Cab. Why the hell am I trying to sell them what I like? How about I sell them the best bottle for them? So that's where people get it backwards. And I'll leave you with a, you know, a story that really hits me with the attitude of service. And it was like, general manager of the mall has you know, they have this big sale this weekend, right? Like the big whatever the spring sale, whatever it is, and everybody's coming in a super busy weekend. So he asked the janitor, "Can I ask you to do the best job possible on cleaning the floors and waxing or whatever, make it shine, right? So the guy spends like a day and a half, you know, from Wednesday on to Friday to prepare it for the weekend. And on Saturday, the GM walks in and the mall is full and all the, you know, the vendors are happy and the people are happy and there's activities for kids. And he sees a janitor who's like crying and he's like, "Why are you crying?" And he's like, "Well, you know, they ruined my floor. Like everybody stepped on the floor." Where that guy forgot why he did it. We did it so that these people would be here happy right now. And the intent was to make it perfect. The pug is here. Hello, doggy.
We have to
Hug
break
it.
protocol because my dog needs to be on camera.
Love the
So
dog.
this
That's
will be
amazing. I
it.
should bring mine and we'd have a party.
Yeah,
But yeah, hospitality for me goes like intent and making sure that people are happy. So the janitor cleaned the floor. He did his job. When people walked in, the place was impeccable. It wasn't meant to stay impeccable forever. It was meant to be there for that, to meet that moment and meet these people. So yeah, to me, it's all about intent and making sure that I want to make sure you're happy and I'm giving you the best experience for whatever I'm trying to offer you.
I think it, a lot of it for me just comes down to caring about the experience, whatever that experience is, whether it's a dining experience. You know, I think I've been kind of toying with the concept in my brain of like gyroscopic hospitality, and that it just goes in every bloody direction, man. You know, because I used to be the chef that would get pretty hot when my deliveries didn't come in. You know, or they didn't come on time, or like, fuck, I need that, man. Like, I need that 10 cases of chicken so I can get that broken down. And I'm not gonna lie to you, I had some days where my temper got the best of me, and I'd have some stern words for the driver, and the driver would more often than not look at me like, whatever, dude. You know? And then I realized somewhere down the road that if I said, "Hey man, I know you're struggling, you're having a hard day, you're clearly behind because you're always here at 7 a.m. and it's 11 a.m.
Something
Would like a
happened.
glass of water, you know, like next thing I know, I got the driver calling me going, "Hey man, I'm running a little late." Right? Same driver, month later, "I'm running a little late. I can divert, but I need your guys out back and to help me like unload, and I can come and get you your stuff now or in like 3 hours because we're having a bad day at the factory." And I was like, "Huh, okay." You know, and so that guy always got water after that,
For
and
sure.
probably got a good sized meal, you
Yeah,
know,
probably
but
got
he
something to grab to eat in the truck, right?
yeah, and it's realizing that at the end of the day, for me, it's realizing everybody's a human. Right, we all have good days and bad days, and just trying to like take care of people, but also, you know, knowing that like on some level, you take care of me, I'll take care of you. But
Of
how about
course.
this? Just take care of them because you never know what they're going through. So
I
I
want
think
to
that's
see
a
how somebody that comes and works with us, I don't care what role they're in, I want to see how they treat the dish person, the dishwasher.
yeah,
Okay.
for
Does it
sure.
kill you to go see them and be, "Hey, dude, was like, you know, a Coke with water, with ice, or water with ice, or you want something to drink?" Going back to hospitality, who's your first guests? Who's your first client? To me, my employees.
Absolutely.
Because they're the ones that go
You're
back home and
loved.
talk about your business and talk about how they're being treated and how they like it. If I make you happy and I make you feel, what, are we going to bash people in because you're like, you're a number and you're just going to work for? No. How do you want people to take care of your guests if you don't take care of them? Take care of your
Absolutely.
suppliers, take care of all these things. I guess that's what you mean by, I'm probably going to mess it up, gyroscopic hospitality, but hospitality goes everywhere, right?
Every single direction. Up, down, high, low. Yeah, it just the concept of a gyroscope recently just got in my brain, and I was like, well, that's kind of what it is, right? Like, you know, it's just not failing to recognize the humanity and the need for care. I think when we do that, like hospitality takes care of itself.
But it's the same for every level. Somebody drops a resume. You go in, you're nervous, you just want to drop a resume. Here's the difference between, hey, even if we're not hiring, and everybody's hiring these days, but let's say you're not hiring. You're like, "Hey, Mary, thanks for coming in. You're applying as a hostess, as a server, perfect. You want to work full-time, part-time, part-time, cool. And any days, you know, that you don't want to work, just so that my manager at least knows what's going on. Cool. Let me grab a few notes. I don't know, you know, that we have any needs right now, but I'll make sure the manager gets this. You know, and if they need, they'll give you a call. But thank you so much for coming and seeing us." right? Hope to come and see you. Even if you don't work with us, hope you come and see us and we get to serve you. Versus, yeah, cool. We're not hiring, but sure. And then throw it under the bin and they go. Right? Same thing, the way you receive like suppliers. I've done both, right?
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was working when I was in Ottawa. I started my consultancy. I was working for a reservation system. Like, you know, like there's a million of them, like OpenTable, Resy, all of these guys these days. And I'd go in and I know when to go in. I'm not going to go in at 11:45, right? But I'd go in sometimes and just be like at 2:15. I would pick 2 to 3. The only time I'd go in, talk to the owner, manager, listen, I don't know if you have any needs. Just I'm in, you know, we're working with a bunch of restaurants in the area. Just want to leave you a bit of information. Don't want to take too much of your time. If you think it can help you, love to give you more details, but just wanted to shake your hand, see you in person. Most people are like, hey, let me take a look at it. And may have done a sale or two off of that, but didn't do much. But I remember going to a new restaurant. There was a high-end restaurant, and I walked in, and there's 3 or 4 people at the bar. I'm like, listen, I really, like, bartender looks at me. I'm like, I really don't want to bother you, manager or owner here. I just want to take 15 seconds of their time. He's like, yeah, it's me. So I'm like, listen, I don't know if you guys have any needs, but we work with a bunch of restaurants in Ottawa and around here, and I just wanted to let you know it's local. It's a new product. It works really well. It's used by so-and-so. So he looks at it, and he's like, how much does this cost? I'm like, $200 a month, whatever it was. And he's like, oh, well, no, there's no way that we could use this. The difference between that and saying, hey, Chris, I don't know that we need that or we can spend money on that right now, but I appreciate you coming and seeing me and thinking of us and, you know, and knowing that we just opened. Have you had a chance to be here yet? No, but listen, I'd love to have you in. Come with your lady. Come in and say hi when you do. I'll keep this in mind. Talk about it with my partners. To be honest, I'm not sure we're going to go that way right now. We're still handling the phones and doing it, but thanks for thinking of me, man. Thanks for taking the time. Have a great day. That's the same friggin' thing. That's the same amount of in time invested. But how do you think I would have felt leaving? I guaranteed you I would have gone back with my wife to have dinner just out of the, dude, that guy opened the door. I'm going to build rapport with him. You know, like that's what hospitality, you're saying like,
yeah,
you know, the intent was to be hospitable, but also at the same time, if I scratch your back and scratch my back, you're being smart about it. Like, so somebody drops a resume, somebody is, you know, you're a supplier and you're trying to come and sell me something at 12:15, I will kick you right out and throw your garden garbage because you're an idiot that doesn't understand which business you're selling to. But you come to me at 9:30 in the morning, 10:45, 2:15 in the afternoon, and you're respectful and you're like, listen, I just want to take a minute to say, just crack a door, leave you this. If you think we should talk, we should talk. I will like make sure that you come back as a guest and you come. The same thing with the person who drops a resume. They're going to go back home. How did it go today? I was treated like shit at such and such restaurant because they threw pretty much, I'm sure they're going to throw my resume in the garbage. Like the perception that you give of your business is not just to your guests, but it's gyroscopic, like you said, to your suppliers, to anybody that you interact with.
Well, and you know, the delivery driver, he's got an anniversary too, right? You think he's got a choice. He's got a choice of where he can take his wife and, hey, these guys are cool. They've taken really great care of me. Let's go have dinner there.
Everything not only smells that, great. You know how many people ask Sim for reference because he works in this business? How many people call you to ask you which restaurant to go to, Simon? You know how many times my family, my sister, my mother, my neighbors, all everybody, Chris, which restaurant should we go to? I don't send them to the people who treat me like crap.
No.
I send them to the people that I know have a good experience, but also that I like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Chris, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming to play with us today. I think that the infusion of hospitality into business is super important. I love the passion and energy you have for adrenaline and herding cats, especially. You know, I think that that is a special thing, but also super, super necessary in this industry. You know, I think that the for me, a lot of it is the concept of having fun every day. So again, thank you so much for coming, and look forward to hearing how Piecemeal continues to grow and evolve.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I think you and I could have done a 12-hour podcast together. Very enjoyable. And I'm very excited to see you. You've hinted me some other episodes of the Culinary Mechanic that you've taped and some other people I know you're having soon. So I'm excited to hear the other conversations you're having. And I'm sure that you and I will cross each other soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Have a great one. To all you out there, have fun. Keep it real. Bye-bye.